So are you ready for a little bit of something this morning? I've got something for you. I told some of you in the music time beforehand that we're going to talk, and the message today is called Bring It. Bring It. Bring It. Come on, bring it. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, you're going to find out. Today marks 49 days, 7 weeks until... Yeah, some of you were like, I don't know whether to answer that or not. Are you ready? How many of you got completely everything bought, wrapped? Nobody. Okay, good. There are some people who do that. Do you know those people? Like they buy it all year long and they get it done and it's all done, it's all wrapped, it's all put away. Yeah. And I think it's great if they can do that. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I don't know, maybe. Depends on who you are. You know, I mean, well, I'll get to that maybe. Because my problem is I actually love every season. I do. I really like all the seasons. I find that there are certain things that I find myself doing in certain seasons, and I just have these different seasonal things that I like to do. We've got a fireplace at our house, and I like to light the fireplace. And I love that the fireplace is push button, beep, and it just pops up. It's great. And, you know, I've been trying to think of a way. It really doesn't work with the way our little living room is laid out, but I'd like to have a chair right next to the fire and just sit and read. Like, that's something in January and February that I just love, just sit and read next to a fire. Nobody else feels that? Okay. Yeah, it could be really nice. And by the way, that's the only thing fit to do in the middle of January, February, sit and read by the fire. Oh, well, not really. There are a lot of people who love, love, love winter. They love to ski and they love to do that stuff. I used to ski. I probably still could, but I don't know. Maybe I should take the youth group skiing. Yeah, there you go. Broken legs are so much fun. You know me, though. I have this thing where every day is the day that the Lord has made. So how could I, if I love every day as though the Lord made every day, how can I think of the seasons as something that God didn't make? So I love the seasons. I think seasons are great. I don't know if I would like living someplace that didn't go through the seasons. I kind of like the seasons, but to each his own. I'm not going to condemn anybody for that. We had our first snow Tuesday. It's pretty. Pretty big flakes, and they melted. That's my favorite kind of snow, really. Big flakes, looks pretty, melts. Maybe if it snows enough overnight, you wake up in the morning and it's the day you don't have to go anywhere and then it melts. Melting snow is my favorite snow. But how many of you thought it was the devil's snow? Well, I mean, you know, some people think the 31st is the devil's day. So maybe you thought it was the devil's snow. Every day belongs to God, and I give every day to God, and it was not the devil's snow. It was the Lord's beautiful flakes coming down and looking pretty. I need to get focused, though, don't I? Okay, here we go. Love them or hate them, we're going to have seasons. If you live in this part of the world, that's just the way it is. So, since we're going to have these different seasons, how many of you think when we're coming into a season, we should make the most of it? Yeah. That's what I want to do. I want to make the most of what's about to happen because it's going to happen. The next 49 days are going to happen and they're coming. And they're not going to slow down just for little old me. So how do we make the most of it? Turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. I'm going to give you a verse for making the most of your holiday season. This holiday season. It's probably not what you're expecting. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will God put into your bosom." Some versions say lap. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. For with the same measure that you use will be measured back to you. Do we believe this?
Amen.
Good. I'll take it. But do we really believe it? How much belief are we putting into something like this? And here's the question. Do you think most church people believe it? Really, really believe it? You know, I wonder about this attitude of believing that if we give, God will give to us. Have you noticed that a lot of churches even have more of an attitude of, I'm coming to church to get my blessing? Like, the preachers even want their people to come and get filled up. Come to the filling station and get what you need, you know. It's not that I don't want our needs to be met while we're here. But sometimes our overall attitude on our way here is, I'm going to have to go, boy, I could sure use something today. And by the way, have you ever been to a church service where you didn't seem to get anything and then you go home grumbling about it? Some people do. And I'm not sure some church leaders want their people to come with an attitude of give and it shall be given to you, except at the offering. Oh yeah, a lot of churches now, there's where they want you to give. But they don't, you know, you don't need you to give. They need you to sit still the rest of the time. Just give in the offering and then sit still and we'll try to give you stuff. And by the way, if you give money, then we'll pray for your blessing. I hope church isn't like that anywhere, but I think sometimes it is. But here's the problem that I see. Because giving money is good and laudable, by the way. Giving money is a good thing. I like that. But there are so many more ways that you can give. So many more ways that you can give. And remember that the key to receiving is giving. Acts 20:35 says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is that? Because that's the key. That's how you get more than you need. That give into your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, running over, into your lap, and just more than you can, you know, you're trying to get your arms around it. Anybody besides me have that happen, by the way, in the holiday season? You're trying to get your arms around all these presents that you got. My wife says, take all those presents. And I can't just take them one at a time. I have to see how many I can carry. And you got more than you know what to do with. Somebody says, well, what if I don't have anything left to give? See, that right there might be the problem. Because sometimes we have something to give, we just don't realize it. We look in our wallet and we think we have nothing to give, and that's not really the biggest or the most important form of giving anyway. What if we're so used, in fact, what if it, as Americans, what if we're so used to being consumers that we get in the habit of consuming and we start to lose the art of giving? And we start to lose the idea of giving, and we're not realizing that we have so much to give, and each one of us has so much to give. Well, I don't have as much to give as so-and-so. Maybe you got more to give than they do. You just don't know it. You're not thinking about it. I'm not thinking about it. I think sometimes the way we live in America makes us kind of mentally crippled givers. But here's the thing. If I limit my giving, then I limit my ability to receive. If I'm limiting my giving when I could be giving and I'm not giving when I could be giving, then I don't have that opportunity to receive because I won't be able to take it in because I'm not practicing the thing that is the key to giving. I'm going to say this over and over today until it sinks into my head. So the problem that, as I see it, as I've said, is we don't really know how to give in our time of need. So what comes before Christmas? Thanksgiving? What? Thanksgiving? Funny little holiday. Little holiday name there, Thanksgiving. And what will we be doing a whole lot of at Christmas time? We will be giving a whole lot at Christmas time. Some of you are already trying to figure out how you're going to pay for it, aren't you? We got some information the other day. Some intelligence came in, and we now know what to get one of our grandkids. Yes, we found out. And we told the grandchild's parents, we're giving that. Don't touch it. My wife said, get on Amazon and get that right now. Oh, that's a birthday one. Oh, that too. Well, okay. That was the birthday one. We're trying to get the intelligence on the kids for, yeah, but we've got a birthday coming up in December too. Yeah. Yeah, the parents switch the tags on the presents, yeah. So they think it, yeah, because the cool thing, you know. I mean, you know, the kids want the cool thing, or they got the thing that they got their heart set on. That costs a bazillion dollars. So, if I can, I'd like to take a minute and maybe brainstorm with you a little. And I'm going to pull this together that I've said so far. So, this is a rhetorical question. You all know I like to ask rhetorical questions. Those are the ones you probably shouldn't just amen or jump up and say something to, because I might be being a little tricky. So here's the rhetorical question. Did you come here today thinking mostly, I can't wait to give, or did you come here today hoping that you'd get something? And it's not that either one of those is necessarily wrong, except for one might have better results. Because if it's more blessed to give than to receive, then you need to be able to give so that you can be even more blessed. Right? Okay. So I'm going to work on this attitude adjustment today, mainly mine. And I want to enable us to take full advantage of what's ahead of us. Because we're going to do a lot of giving in the next 7 weeks, like it or not. So we can be stressed out about it, or we can be full of expectation. What are you expecting in the next few weeks as we move into this season? If it's more blessed to give than to receive, then we have an incredible opportunity right in front of us. An incredible opportunity right in front of us. And I wonder what would happen if each of us decided that we were going to increase our giving over the next 49 days. Well, I'm already going to increase my giving over the next 49 days. But what if you increase it even more? Well, now this is starting to sound expensive. I'm not talking about monetary. That's the thing. This isn't a monetary thing. So let's do this brainstorming thing that I mentioned. What can we give? What can you give? What can I give that doesn't cost money? Time. How many of you know some people just need a little bit of your time more than they need anything else? But I haven't got time. Well, what if you gave time and God made more time? Well, God can't do that. What? Well, there's only 24 hours in a day. No, wait. God is not limited to time, right? So what if I give up some of my time? Well, that might cost me something. Well, that's true. It could cost you a little something. I mean, sometimes if you give up your time, you didn't go to work, well then, okay. Yeah, maybe you lose an hour's work. I get it. What else?
Hugs.
Hugs can be wonderful. Except if you hug somebody who doesn't want to be hugged. Or use a little judgment. You know, the Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss, but I'm not sure everybody wants to do that. Now, there was this girl when I was really young. Never mind.
You married her, right?
She didn't use the excuse that the other girl used. The other girl mentioned that holy kiss thing, but I don't think she was thinking holy, so I can say. So, yeah, I married the right one. I did. Good save, Tim. Okay. Hugs. What else can we give that doesn't cost us money?
Compliments.
That actually does cost you a little bit of brain work sometimes. I mean, you actually have to, like, take time to notice people. You have to actually think a little bit. But, you know, like, there are people. Here's a good one. Find a way to compliment the person at the greeting station at a store someplace. Or maybe you go through a checkout line and you don't have to do it yourself. So you could compliment the person that says, I'm so glad you're here today. It's so much better when I get to check out and you, yeah, thank you for your help. Like, no, they should have to do that. No, no, apparently they don't have to anymore. How many have noticed that? I hear that they're giving the self-checkout people all Thursday off, Thanksgiving. You won't have to go there and check yourself out. You got the day off, just don't go at all. Yeah, compliments. Look around and find somebody who's doing something and show a little appreciation for it. Give them a compliment. Be extra nice to your waiter or waitress. Some of you will have a chance to do that today. So I had compliments down too. So far, you guys are hitting on all these kind of things. Something else? Anybody think of anything else that's free?
Smile.
A smile. Even if you don't really mean it, you can stick one on and try. Some people will know you didn't mean it, but they'll appreciate that you tried. Yeah. What about maybe you see somebody who's, you know, got a ridiculously high cart full of stuff, and they're trying to get it out the door, and they're having trouble. You help open the door for them, or maybe even help them load it up. Or you find somebody that is close to you and they're needing a little hand with something. You can give somebody a hand. More than that. Earlier, I've got a couple others. Like, give somebody a call. You know what's amazing? I remember when I used to need to give, or I used to try to give somebody a call, and it was actually costing me something. Now, your cell bill is the same whether you call somebody or not. Call somebody. Let them know you're thinking of them. Just say, I thought of you today. I thought of you and 50 other people. I had a list. it's all right. Just call somebody. They'll appreciate it. I mentioned earlier going to church with an attitude of coming to give more than receive. What if we started looking for opportunities at church besides the offering to give? Like, what if every time you came to church, you added yourself to the greeting team? You don't have to even stand out there and greet. You can just go around and greet people. You can get beside Joyce. Joyce goes around and greets everybody. Tries to, anyway. You can join the rejoice team. Getting the second time greeting. You know, the first level. Sometimes we don't even have greeters, so just look around. People just, it's a wonderful thing. It doesn't cost you anything. Be great to do. What if every time we went to church, we decided that we were going to look forward to giving praise and honor and glory during our time of worship, and that we were going to go out of our way to maybe do a little bit more than what just is easy? A sacrifice of praise. You know why it's a sacrifice? Because it takes doing something that doesn't come easy. If it's easy, it's not a sacrifice. But what if we came in and we made up our mind? You know, last week I did something amazing. I like put my hand up. This week I'm going to go for it. Oh, two of them. What if I went a little bit further with it? What if I came looking for an opportunity to really give, not expecting to receive, and yet knowing that I should expect that he won't let. How many of you know you can't outgive God? Amen. Yeah. The thing for me, and maybe this is in my brain differently, because right from the beginning, I'm 16 years old, just got my license, and a new church started up. And I'm the song leader for the new church, beating on my guitar and singing, you know, choruses with the same five words four times. It's real easy stuff. We didn't need any overheads or anything to help people find the words, because you knew them after you sang it 50 times. You were like, I wish he would sing something else. Anyway, you know, I started bringing it to church every Sunday. I had to bring it every Sunday. I had to. And it never changed for me. How many of you know I have to bring it every Sunday? But I want to bring it every Sunday. I want to bring it. I want to bring something. Not just a little bit of money and drop it in and hope I can get a little bit of something out of that message, you know. Let me remind you, we say this every once in a while. We are the opposite of the NFL. We practice on Sunday and we're in the game all week long. And really, we're in the game the second we leave on Sunday. And so we come in here. So the way we do it here is going to be the practice. They say if you practice well, you'll play well. And if you don't practice hard, you don't play that great. Practice is important. So we practice it here. We take it out there. And I'm going to say it. If you suck on Sunday, you're going to suck all week. What did you just say? I'm talking about vacuums. Spiritual vacuums. By the way, have you ever run into anybody who's a spiritual vacuum? And they never have anything to give? Something's got to change there for them. That's not good. That's not good. They need to have an opportunity to give, because when you give, more will be given to you. And then you give a little bit of, and then more will be given to you, and more will be given to you, and pretty soon you start to become known as this person who isn't a vacuum. You're a spiritual fount. You're in a spiritual flow. You're making it happen. And again, I want that pressed down, shaken together, and running over thing to happen to me. I want you to have more than enough. Look at your neighbor and say, I want you to have more than enough. I want you to have more than enough, John. And he says, yep, I've had enough. Yeah. And by the way, I'm not saying this for your condemnation. I'm saying it for your consideration. It is an invitation for information that forms something inside of you and makes you more of what God wants you to be. But not just because God wants you to be it, but because you want to be it. You want this more than God wants you to. Nope, not possible. But you want it more than you know sometimes. And we just have to rehearse it to ourselves. We have to work it into our head. We have to make it something. I say, how can I give something to this person at the gas counter when they didn't give me my receipt at the pump? And now I got to walk all the way in, and doesn't he notice that the snow's starting to fall and I am cold? Some of you are like, we don't get the receipts. I get the receipts, because that woman over there keeps track of everything. So I get the receipts. I go back. And you know what I've learned to do, though? If it says clerk has receipt, I walk in and I go, okay, where's Clark? And the person looks at me and I say, yeah, it said out there that Clark has my receipt. And they laugh. Or they look at me weird. Doesn't matter. I'm having a good time because I'm giving. I'm bringing it. I'm just having a good time. So here we are at a passage that we go to. This is a go-to passage for me. By the time I'm 180, as I'm planning to live to be 180, I'll maybe have this passage figured out. But John chapter 4, verses 5, beginning there. So he came to a city of Samaria, this is talking about Jesus, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied, ever say being wearied? He's plumb tuckered. From his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Do you know what time that means it was? Lunchtime. Yeah, I think so. Because they consider the first hour of the day, and then 6 hours in, ninth hour is when Jesus was crucified in the afternoon. I think that's how it works. Anyway, he was tired. He'd been up a while. He was ready to sit down and relax. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And I talk about this all the time. Jesus was tired. He's sitting there, and this woman comes up. Do you ever get tired? Yeah. I do too. I get tired. And maybe that's why I return the scripture so much. There have been so many times that I have been tired, and there was an opportunity right in front of me, and I was tired. Occasionally I'll have I'm tired, and I don't think I want to do something. Sometimes I'm just tired, and then I don't notice it, and it's already gone. Like the opportunity came, and it went, and I should have said this. I should have done that. You know, one of those kind of things. And then there's been a couple of times where just be a little selfish. Yeah. Really, do I have to do something right now? But we know the story. Jesus, by the way, would have been totally justified in just sitting there. Based on the way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the Jews thought the law said it, he wasn't even supposed to talk to that woman. He could have just sat there, let her do her thing, and go away. Sinful woman. Ah. But he talks to her. And you can read on. He ministers to her, prophesies over her. She gets whacked. She gets touched. Our way of saying touched, whacked. And she's like, "This is crazy. This is crazy cool." And then verse 27. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he was talking with the woman. Yeah, for two reasons. She's a woman, number one. And number two, she's one of those people from that other group of people. Not one of those Jewish people. She's a Samaritan. It's early on, by the way. This was early on in Jesus' ministry, so they still hadn't quite figured out how Jesus is always going to do something that you don't expect him to do. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked to the woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come and see this man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out from the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat, which you do not know." I love it. You talk about giving when you're not in the position to give, and yet giving in your time of need, and giving in that moment when you're tired, and giving. And he never got his drink of water from, as far as the scripture says, but he gave to her. And as he gave to her, something changed. And within minutes, he went from dog tired. Everybody say dog tired. He went from dog tired to energized. He went from, "Man, I just need to sit down. You guys go get the burgers. Bring me some fries." You know, he sent them into town. He sat down. And he went from being tired to being energized. And because why? Because he gave, and it was given unto him. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
And it only took minutes.
That time when we're most tired might be the time when we can receive the most, and we just don't know it. Our obligations might just be our greatest opportunity.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready? How many of you have got family that are going to obligate you this year? Yes, you do. You've got family that are going to make you feel obligated. You better show up or and that kind of stuff.
Maybe those moments where you give, change your heart and mind and give in those moments of obligation and sacrifice, you might get really the best feeling of all. Well, that's crazy to think about, but it's possible. So over the next 7 weeks of this holiday season, there are going to be a lot of dog-tired moments for all of us, aren't there? If you don't remember it, you were doing it right last year. And all the other years. Because I'm going to tell you, I know there have been some times where you're like, oh, okay, I'll go fill up the van. Let's get ready to go, honey. Got to go take care of stuff. And maybe that's the moment when I'm going to need to go, whoa, cool. A little bit of family pressure. That's fine. We'll just go anyway and be happy, which I'm about to talk to you about. Because that might be my moment to receive the most. That might be my moment when the most kicks in the fastest. That's crazy to think about. They might be our greatest opportunities. So some day, by the way, they could be just the mundane stuff too, the stuff that you think nobody cares about. Ah, nobody cares about that, just mundane, whatever. Those might be the opportunities, like, I don't know, like going to church when you're tired. Or maybe when you're at church, seeing something that needs to be cleaned up or taken care of or fixed or whatever, and you decide you're going to do that, and you give, and it gets given back to you. How many would like to have God give you an opportunity where you give and sacrifice a little bit of your time, and then God sends somebody to fix something that you couldn't fix while you were fixing something that you could fix, and somebody fixes something for you because you gave what you gave, and the thing that you get fixed is bigger than the thing you fixed? That's what we're talking about here. And I believe when we do that, that he'll give us more than we have the capacity to carry. I would like to be so full of it. I mean, giving. I'm talking about giving here. That everywhere I went, people just felt like I was giving to them even when I wasn't trying. I could just radiate it off of me. At the end of this morning's starting text, it says, "For with the same measure that you measure with, it will be measured back to you. The same measure that you use will be measured back to you." I want to give as much as I can because I want to get back because I gave. But I don't want to just give to get back. I just want to give and give and give. And if I give freely and I give with abandon, then somehow God's going to give back to me freely and with abandon. I believe this, and I've been attempting this my entire life. But I want to do it better, and I can do it better, and I need to do it better. So I want to encourage us to look for opportunities to bring it the next few weeks. And let's practice bringing it when we come here so that we can do a better job of bringing it when we go out there. One last thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. "So each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Just go ahead and be happy while you're doing it. It won't hurt you. You can smile. Yeah, I know, maybe you got conned into it, but you know what? Just be happy. Just go ahead and be happy. Because you're probably going to give a lot this season. And since you're going to give a lot, you might as well be happy while you give, because you're going to give it anyway. Right? I felt like, I got talked into this, and I got talked into that, and I got talked into the other. Well, why not just be glad you got talked into it and be happy about it? And you're going to do it anyway, so you might as well smile. And this is the time of year when sometimes we are asked to give more. I get it. And when we are tempted to complain, let's not. We can be happy, and God loves a happy giver. He loves a cheerful giver. And what happens to somebody who God loves? They get blessed. Oh, yeah. So come on, Bethel. Bring it and be blessed. Just bring it and be blessed. Amen.